Hi, friend. If you love the information you hear in the podcast, then you will love the free mini series of videos that I've put together just for you. It's all about the biblical blueprint for health and teaches you exact principles I've taught to thousands of Christian women that result in weight loss, better sleep, increased energy, clearer skin, and sharper brains. You can go to thechristiannutritionist.com/miniseries to grab this free set of short, powerful teachings that will show you how to create better health God's way. It's at thechristiannutritionist.com/miniseries. Go check it out now. Hi, I'm Chelsea, the Christian Nutritionist. Welcome to the Christian Health Club podcast. We are here to fire you up in spirit, mind, and body so that you can get out into the world and be everything God created you to be. Welcome to the club. Here we go. Hello, my friend. Welcome back to the club. How are you today? I am asked about cholesterol all the time. And the scenario usually goes something like this. My labs came back. My cholesterol is high. And my doctor said I should eat less eggs and meat and consider taking a statin. Now, most of the people who listen to this podcast or who are in the Christian Health Club, we like eggs and meat and we don't want to take a statin. But you know, it's scary when your doctor says something like that and says there's a risk of heart attack and we don't want to go against our doctor. And even though I often explain that cholesterol is not a bad guy and that eggs and meat are incredibly nutritious foods that God gave us, the fear runs deep because the narrative for so long has been that cholesterol will kill you. Now, as I remind you often, I am not a doctor. And so I understand that you're conflicted. And that is why I am so incredibly thankful to have today's guest on with us. He is a doctor. He is a board certified cardiologist. He is the founder of Natural Heart Doctor and known as America's number one natural heart doctor. He uses all natural methods to prevent, treat, and reverse heart disease and says you don't have to depend on medications and surgery. And he is here to set the record straight. Welcome, Dr. Jack Wolfson, to the Christian Health Club podcast.
Chelsea, it's an absolute pleasure to be on. I'm honored. Thank you so much. And, you know, your introduction was very, very important for people to hear. And I can't wait to tell people the truth about cholesterol and get into the real causes of cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, number one killer worldwide.
Absolutely. I'd like to start by hearing about, you know, your transition because you're a conventionally trained physician, and I'd like to know what led you to a more holistic approach to where you are now.
Yeah, for sure. I like to say that I was born into the cardiology world. My father was a cardiologist. So when I was in my mother's womb, I'm listening to these conversations that my father's having about cardiology. And then, of course, as a child, I would be involved in, you know, and around a lot of these conversations my father would have, you know, with his partners and the people in his group. And then my entire life, I wanted to be a cardiologist. I wanted to follow exactly in my father's footsteps. And that's what I did. 4 years of medical school, 3 years of internal medicine training, 3 years of cardiology training, including my final year, I was the chief cardiology fellow. And then I would go to practice in Arizona, and I would join the largest cardiology group in Arizona from 2002 to 2012. And along the way, my father, unfortunately, he was getting sick and dying of a Parkinson's-like illness. And we take him to the Mayo Clinic, and Mayo Clinic says, okay, well, he's got this diagnosis called progressive supranuclear palsy. We have no cause for why he's sick and dying. We've got no treatment for why he's for his disease. And he'll be dead within 3 years. Well, simultaneously and serendipitously at that time, around 2004, God brought this amazing woman into my life. And she is a doctor of chiropractic. And we met after a brief introduction. And Very quickly, she told me all the reasons why my father is sick and dying of this disease. So here, the Mayo Clinic has none of the reasons. And this young woman who would quickly become my wife, she is a doctor of chiropractic, DC. And we got married, but she said early on, you need to become a DC. And I said, wait a second, you want me to become a chiropractor after all the medical training? And she said, no, not DC doctor of chiropractic. You need to become a DC doctor of cause. And that's what I would do. I would leave the big practice in 2012 and start my company, Natural Heart Doctor.
Amazing. You know what they say, Dr. Wolfson, behind every good man, there's a good woman.
Well, and I say that all the time, and good is not enough to explain what my wife is. She's an absolute angel in every facet of my life. And it really is just extraordinary. And you think about how God works to bring someone like this into your life after, you know, I mean, I was 34 years of age and I had dated many, 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 many women. And it's just incredible how, because anything could have happened along the way with any of these women, but how, you know, again, it was just this divine intervention and meeting. It was all just too perfect. And again, I'm just so thankful.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about cholesterol, because how did it become such a scapegoat for all things heart disease?
Well, I think it really is, you know, starting from the 1960s, they were looking at what was all of a sudden leading to all these increases of heart attacks and strokes and people dying. Because in the early 1900s, in the medical literature, there's really not anything about coronary artery disease. But by the time we get into the, you know, 40s, 50s, and 60s, it's just rampant. And they're looking for cause. Now, of course, tobacco was identified by a lot of researchers at that time. And then it became, well, there's, you know, we've done autopsy studies and we find that there's cholesterol in the arteries, in these plaques. Therefore, cholesterol must be the villain. And then they start doing a lot of research about how to lower the cholesterol numbers down. And certainly there's an agenda there with big agriculture, where you've got all of this wheat and oats and other grains as allegedly better ways to eat and live and prevent disease and to lower cholesterol down. So this is where we got the false nutrition data from. And then, of course, it became the pharmaceutical companies, you know, of high interest to them to find things that would lower cholesterol down as well. And this would lead to certain pharmaceuticals and ultimately to the biggest selling class of drugs of all time, statin drugs. And I think that in a lot of ways, you know, the word statin, and I don't want to claim much biblical knowledge here. I'm not trying to do that. But I do think that as I try and vilify statin drugs, it is kind of strange that Satan and the word statin, you know, statin and Satan kind of go along a little bit similar. And I think really it's just evil of what is being perpetrated on millions of people. Let me summarize this. Cholesterol is one of the most important molecules in your body. It makes vitamin D. It makes your hormones. It's involved in your digestion. It's in every single cell membrane, the brains of the cell that keeps things outside of the cell that don't belong and keeps things inside of the cell that do belong. Cholesterol is in milk because it's in our mother's milk. It's in cow's milk. It's in giraffe milk and whale milk because that's what their prodigy need to live. They need that food in there. Why does a chicken egg contain cholesterol? Because that's how you bring a chicken to life. You can't raise a chicken on oatmeal. So I'll leave it at that, you know, regarding cholesterol. Happy to answer any more questions, but I think, why do the doctors go along with it? Because that's just the way that we're trained. We're trained by the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies control medical education. They control the governing bodies, the American Heart Association, the American College of Cardiology. The pharmaceutical companies are a multi-trillion dollar enterprise. And it, you know, it's cliche, but follow the money and you will find out the truth.
Absolutely. I will add to that. And what do you think about like the edible oil lobby also being a part of this with seed oils? And do you think that plays a role in really more of kind of root cause of the degradation of ourselves. And like I say, you know, really causing, like, why is cholesterol showing up? Cholesterol is a healing agent, right? And so I'm like, why? That's what we're looking at. Why, if cholesterol is coming in, or there, you know, the body's producing more of it, isn't part of that coming in as like the rescue mission? And I think the seed oils have played such a big role in creating inflammation in the body. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that create inflammation in the body, and inflammation and oxidative stress are a couple terms that are linked to all disease. And yes, they all have a cause. And I would say the cause of inflammation, oxidative stress, and the cause, therefore, of disease of any kind, whether it's brain or it's cancer or it's heart, is violations of eat well, live well, think well. So if we eat well and we live well and we think well, then that's the strategy that people need to follow. So if you ask about seed oils, are seed oils part of eating well? The answer is no. Now, do I think that seed oils are the biggest offender for people? I don't. I think that there is a lot of other offenders: pesticides, artificial foods, very grain-intensive diets, high sugar diets. Those are going to be the things that I think are most likely from a food standpoint, you know, and really just not eating whole, natural, hunter-gatherer, ancestral foods, which seed oils are not part of that, and neither are fish oils or really any other oil, you know, for that matter, although you can find plenty of data to support the benefits of seed oil and olive oil. It's most important to eat food in its whole state. Why consume olive oil when you can eat olives? Why consume avocado oil when you can eat avocados? So I think that's the most important thing to take a look at, is kind of stick with these whole foods things from a hunter-gatherer, you know, perspective. I believe that the most important food in the world to eat is wild seafood. And kind of 1A with that are going to be free-range, grass-fed animal products, including the organs. That's absolutely critical. But no matter what diet you follow, please make it organic. Get the chemicals out of the food. Let me say one more thing too, real quick, about the cholesterol. Like you said, you know, it's like if someone from around the world, you know, who maybe they're a cave person, and you brought them to today's, you know, whatever, and you saw like a fire truck at the scene of a fire, right? And the fire truck is, you know, putting water to, you know, douse out the fire. But if you looked at it from the outside, you say, wait a second, that fire truck over there with the water thing, that's causing the fire. You know, it's guilt by association. It's at the scene of the crime. But, you know, just like cholesterol was at the scene of the crime, like you said, it was all part of the reparation process. It's repairing the inflammation, oxidative stress, and immunodysfunction and immune activation in the damaged tissues that leads to cholesterol accumulation in that area. And ultimately, if you do have abnormal cholesterol, you're best to figure out why. And the why is not a statin drug deficiency.
Amen to that. Well, let's talk about the kind of the cholesterol numbers. So when somebody goes to their doctor or, you know, has a test, and what we see is that we have total cholesterol, which is pretty much means nothing. We have HDL, LDL. HDL has been touted as the good cholesterol, got my air quotes over here, and LDL as the bad cholesterol. I just shared with my community the other day a study that came out showing how high LDL cholesterol actually promotes longevity. And so I think that, you know, we're starting to see this shift, but obviously not quick enough, because people are frightened of LDL and pin so much on that. So can you kind of break down, what is the difference, you know, in these kind of basic markers? Should we, you know, do we put stock in them? What should we be looking at when we're looking at HDL, LDL, and then I'll throw triglycerides in there as well?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. You know, what you talk about, the LDLs and HDLs and total cholesterol, that's 1970s conversation. That's stuff that my father was talking about in the 1970s. And those are the lab tests still 50 years later that people are getting. And there are more advanced markers and tests that people need to get. But the whole concept of LDL being bad and HDL being good, that's pure pharmaceutical speak. That is pure pharmaceutical companies telling us this total lie and fallacy. If LDL was bad, why does the human body make it? Why do all animal species on planet Earth contain LDLs and HDLs for that matter? It's for a reason. And the reason LDLs exist is to transport cholesterol and triglycerides for energy and fat-soluble vitamins and CoQ10 to transport it around the body. And HDL picks up a lot of the remnant cholesterol and other things that are no longer needed. These are all transportation vehicles. They are part of the antioxidant system. They're part of the immune system. They're absolutely vital. And what we want to do is we want to look to see everyone's God-given perfect cholesterol numbers. So when you eat well and you live well and you think well, then you will work towards your perfect numbers for you. But it's not about how do we get our LDL as low as possible. That is a failure. It's not going to work. And to your point, as we get older, the more LDLs that we have, especially when they're quality LDLs, and we'll talk about that, that's longevity, that's health, and that's wellness. So as we look at the LDLs inside of LDL, these transport vehicles, the small dense ones can be measured and they're bad. They contribute and they're increased risk, but the large buoyant fluffy ones are the good ones, the healthy ones. So we want a lot of those. We want little amounts of the small dense LDLs. We can also measure the damage directly in a lab test called oxidized LDL. That's a fantastic test that I order on all my patients. And then ultimately we can check what's a ratio of what's called ApoB to ApoA. That is the most predictive of all of the lipid or, you know, kind of in that cholesterol category people would think of. But as far as the lipid numbers, this ApoB, ApoA ratio, which is available at any commercial laboratory and covered by any insurance company, you calculate that ratio. Maybe they do it for you. ApoB, ApoA, the lower the better. Triglycerides, we know the lower the better on the triglycerides. When you do so naturally, that's typically going to be on a, you know, good, healthy, ancestral Paleolithic diet, or a lower carb type diet. But again, many other factors go into these things besides the foods we eat. And then ultimately, if I had to pick one marker of risk assessment, like I'm sitting here, I'm 53 years old, what is my risk of having a heart attack, stroke, or dying? It would actually be a urine test that measures lipid peroxides or levels of oxidative stress. If you're under oxidative stress, if you have inflammation, you're at risk and you better figure it out.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, the lipid peroxide. The lipid peroxidase, that's a special test that you would have to order?
Yes. So that is a special test and you don't need a doctor for that. It's done in the comfort of your own home. You know, there's no blood draw with it. It's a fantastic test. And of course you can test it. And then if it's elevated, then you would obviously make changes to your life and your nutrition and then, you know, retest it down the road. But again, you don't need a doctor for that. It's a measure of oxidative stress called lipid peroxides. So they're looking at damaged lipid or fat particles in the urine. And that has been linked to coronary artery disease risk and really to all disease risk. And it's a measure of oxidative stress. So let me talk about that real briefly. So oxidative stress is a very important concept. Oxidation is what happens to an apple. Right? When you cut an apple and it turns brown, that's oxidation. Same thing with an avocado. The avocado turns brown, oxidation. The rust on a car, that's oxidation. So on and so forth. These are all changes that happen. So we can also, these changes also happen internally in our body and we can measure those. And what we want to do is we want to have a good balance because oxidative factors, just by life, they happen, but we want to be able to combat that. And we can combat that with external sources like vitamin C and vitamin E, for example, foods that we eat. But we also combat that internally real quickly with a couple enzymes, catalase and superoxide dismutase. It's a very complicated thing, but hey, listen, just check your levels of oxidative stress. If they're elevated, then we got to fix them.
Absolutely. I tell people, go out and get a lot of electrons. That could help too. Okay. What about a CT scan? Do you find that helpful?
I'm very anti CT scan. Obviously for emergencies and stuff like that, there's a time and a place for CT scans. But you know, as far as checking coronary artery calcification, I do not find that useful at all. I find it dangerous. Here's the thing. Why radiate yourself when radiation causes heart disease, cancer, and brain disease? Because you have to think about how will a test change what you're going to do? So if you do a coronary artery calcium scan and it is high, what does that mean for you? Does that mean you're going to take a statin drug, which I am against? Does that mean now you're going to take this whole diet and lifestyle thing seriously? Is it going to be motivational for you? Why not be motivated by looking in the mirror? Why not be motivated by how you feel? Why not be motivated by blood work and urine testing? Why not be motivated by the fact that heart disease is the number one killer worldwide? So I don't find that test to be useful at all. Following the test is not useful. And unfortunately, even a lot of quote unquote holistic doctors recommend it. I definitely don't. Now, the other side would be, well, what if your score is normal? Does that mean you can eat more junk food? Does that mean you have zero risk? And the answer to that is no, you still have risk. You know, so again, I just think that it just doesn't provide the data that I think will be beneficial to change things. Now, blood and urine testing does, because if you find abnormalities there and then you make changes on a test that was non-invasive and not dangerous at all, and then you retest down the road with your changes that you did and your numbers look better, that's the path. That's the direction. So I guess that was a long way of saying, no, I don't order CT scans on people.
Okay, no, I'm really glad to get your opinion on that. Can we circle back to ApoA and ApoB? Can you explain to people what that is?
Yeah, sure. So if you think about the LDL particle, I like to talk about it very often. I talk about it in my book as a bus, and it's the bus that transports the passengers around the body. But maybe if you think now about the LDL particle as a baseball, and inside the baseball are all these other things, right? The fat-soluble vitamins and cholesterol and triglycerides and other immune modulators and CoQ10. Well, the stitching on the baseball is ApoB. The stitching on an HDL baseball is ApoA. And that stitching, the ApoB and ApoA, they do very important things, mostly having to do with the docking of these particular particles around the body. So if the brain wants more cholesterol, well, it calls out to the liver, hey, send up more, you know, cholesterol. So the LDL particle takes off. And again, ApoB is part of that docking mechanism, but it's a very easy way to test these things. And we've known since 2004 out of Duke University that ApoB, ApoA is a much, 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 much better predictor than total cholesterol, LDLs, and HDLs.
Okay. Is there a number, a cholesterol number that worries you? Is there a point that somebody really should be concerned if they get their cholesterol back and they're like, ooh, what do you think about that?
Well, according to the Mr. Fit trial in the 1970s, the sweet spot of total cholesterol is between 160 and 260. So what the study found is that if your total cholesterol levels were above 260, you had an increased risk of dying versus those who had a total cholesterol between 160 and 260. But interestingly enough, if your total cholesterol was below 160, you also had an increased risk of dying versus that sweet spot group of 160 to 260. So that's ideally where people would be in that particular range. So as far as kind of like what makes me, you know, concerned, it really is the whole picture, because as you know, Chelsea, that there's so many different markers that we can test for. So if someone's cholesterol is say 400, and their markers of inflammation and oxidative stress are normal, I'm not concerned about that particular number. If they have a lot of inflammation, oxidative stress, elevated lipids, well, then, yeah, then it would be a concern. But again, my treatment is certainly not going to be statin therapy. I never write a prescription for statin drugs or any of these other newer pharmaceuticals, of which pharmaceutical companies will come up with new pharmaceuticals all day long, every single day, in order to generate more revenue and to lower the numbers down. The whole drive to lower the numbers down is all money driven, and the doctors are these willing accomplices in the crime. And I appreciate the opportunity for me to be interviewed by you to, you know, discuss this crime against humanity, and hopefully, yeah, we'll get it stopped.
I knew you were going to speak to all this, which is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because you're very bold about it. And I think people need to hear this in a bold way and hear it from a cardiologist. That is the key. And that is why the work that you are doing is incredibly important. Let me ask you this. How common is it to have familial hypercholesterolemia? I feel like a lot of people, you know, when they go to their doctor, this happened to my husband in his 30s, you know, went to our doctor and he had quote unquote high cholesterol. And he told my husband, no matter what you eat, you could eat cardboard. It's never going to change. You need to be on a statin. He put my husband on a statin in his 30s. This was before I, you know, got into health and nutrition, you know, fully. And it made him feel terrible, terrible. But anyway, we got him off of it, obviously. But, you know, I think these doctors say it's genetic. You have, you know, the genetic tendencies in your family and you can't do anything about it. How common is it actually to have that, you know, familial component where that is a factor?
Familial hyperlipidemia or familial hypercholesterolemia, according to the mainstream sources, like the biggest hospital systems in the world, it's one out of 250 people. So it's much less common than people think. But I am not a believer in the whole genetic problem theory. I believe that our genetics are perfect. We are built either in the image of God or evolution or whatever people would say, but whatever, because if people listening want to teach this to other people, however we got here, our genetics are perfect. We can run and jump and see and feel and make babies. We can do some pretty amazing stuff. Why would we be genetically programmed to have heart attacks, strokes, or cancer or anything else? We're not genetically programmed for that. We're genetically programmed for health and longevity. When you give the body what it needs and take away what it doesn't. All disease is from an unhealthy man-made lifestyle and these violations of the eat well, live well, think well method.
Okay, good to know. You touched on this a little bit earlier.
In the studies that have been done, if you take them at face value, they do very little, according to their literature, they do very little as far as cardiovascular outcomes. Some studies actually show an increased mortality overall in people who were on statin drugs. That's the SPARKLE trial, the ALLHAT trial are a couple of examples there. The reality is that we're not going to outsmart our bodies and nature in the sense of how we are. And pharmaceuticals are not going to be the answer for people. We need to embrace our healthy lipid levels. We need to embrace cholesterol-rich foods, free-range grass-fed meats, wild seafood, pasture-raised eggs, raw dairy. Like, these are the things that truly nourish and heal the body.
Yeah, so I want everybody to hear this from you, that you are saying meat, eggs, good raw dairy, they do not contribute to heart disease.
No. These are the most nutrient dense foods in the world. But they meaning big corporations who control the government and their guidelines, they want us to eat oatmeal. And you mentioned cardboard before. I think the healthiest thing potentially about eating oatmeal actually is eating the box. Just eat the box. If you want to lower your numbers down, then a box can be very effective in doing that by binding up lipids and all other kind of problems, you know, that eating the box, you know, would deal and cause. But if you look at an egg is like a cocoon for a baby chicken. It's a multivitamin. It's got everything that a chicken needs to come to life. Oatmeal is garbage. Wheat is garbage. These are not foods that we should be consuming in any appreciable levels at all. But, you know, I mean, listen, you start getting into things there again about, well, you know, what's in the Bible and what did they eat in the Bible? The biblical grains were different. Times were different. Lifestyle was different. If you look at kind of these things as like biblical foods, these were consumed by people who were living in the Middle East. They were in Northeastern Africa, you know, at the time. These are the quote unquote, the biblical foods that were there. And, you know, I mean, again, I think that when you look at the foods like liver and you look at the nutrient density of all the proteins and fats and vitamins and minerals in a grass-fed animal liver, you cannot compare that to anything in the plant kingdom. You can't recreate that. So, you know, again, I'm just a huge fan of eating these super nutrient-dense foods. They are absolutely essential to health and wellness.
Yeah, I remind people that God was very specific about the meat he said to eat, and really ruminant animals were, he directed the Israelites to eat ruminant animals, which of course are your you know, is your red meat, basically. So like, there you go, people, right there, right in the Bible. I have a question about how do hormone changes play into this? Because it seems like, you know, especially women that are perimenopausal, menopausal, going through those years, it seems to be a time that cholesterol, this issue comes up. Oh, my cholesterol is getting higher. And so is there a hormonal component? And again, I think bringing to light the fact that it's not a bad thing and maybe even something that we want our cholesterol to be higher as we age.
Yeah, we definitely, as we said, we want the cholesterol to be in a good range as we age. The hormone situation is very interesting, especially for postmenopausal women. I believe that menopause is a rite of passage. It is a normal, natural thing that women and the female species has gone through since the dawn of female existence. So it's just a normal thing. And I think it's this transition into a kind of like the wise woman of the tribes. You know, this is the woman, you know, the women that would typically care, you know, for, you know, for the children, maybe as the mother for, you know, was nursing its young, and therefore there were other children around. Well, this is typically where the grandmothers, you know, would come in and play such a role in society back in the day, as they should now. Now, why do women struggle through menopause? I'll just circle back to it again. Violations of eat well, live well, think well. And I do want to get this point out there because I think this is critically important. Ladies and men, but in general, women and men, most people are living in a home that has water damage from rain, from flood, from a leaky faucet, sink, a shower, a toilet, a laundry machine, a dishwasher, humidity in a crawl space, so many different things. There's water damage that leads to mold and bacterial growth. These mold and bacterial toxins get into the air and into your bodies, and they make you sick, and they can cause heart disease and abnormal lipids. I can go down this whole conversation very in depth. But it is in the book of Leviticus, by the way, chapter 14, Moses is talking about what to do if your home is contaminated with mold. He's talking about it 3,500 years ago and what to do if your home has mold. Chapter 14, it's right there. Now, the situation is infinitely worse than it was 3,500 years ago on a whole variety of levels, because now we have the mold and bacterial exposure in our homes leading to sickness. But then we have all these other factors, the EMF, the the carbon monoxide, the outgassing of toxic materials and the laundry detergents and fabric softeners and dryer sheets and colognes and perfumes and the new paint, the new flooring, the carpet, all these different things, not to mention the food and the stressors. This is why our current populace is sicker than ever. But if you have any symptoms or any disease or any problems, please consider that mold is at play from water damage in your home.
Yeah, mold seems to be something that is coming up more and more. And I had a conversation with somebody on the podcast who said that, you know, even since COVID, the corona, the vaccines, that exacerbates, or he said, we're going to see more and more of this mold situation because of that. And that, anyway, it feels very like one of those root causes that people don't think about. So I'm glad you brought that up. When we're thinking about cholesterol and having healthy levels of cholesterol, things that may, if we want, you've brought up several times, the eat well, you know, live well, think yeah. well. Tell mm-hmm. us kind of what your approach is to creating, you know, healthy cardiovascular health.
Well, we talked about the eating component, obviously, you know, a couple different times already. And, you know, these free range grass-fed meats, wild seafood, pasture-raised eggs, avocados, coconuts, olives, nuts and seeds, fruits and vegetables. And we, as a family, and my recommendations are very minimal grain. And if we do eat grain, it is always gluten-free. Okay. That is, and then you roll in the concept of fasting into that, and especially extended duration fasting, 36, 48, 72-hour fasts, water fasts, I think are great. For what it's worth, I am a huge proponent of organic coffee, tested for mold mycotoxins and pesticides, glyphosate and stuff like that. And to shameless plug here, we do have a brand called Cardiology Coffee that is just that I created in order to tell people the heart health benefits of coffee. A lot of people love to drink coffee, and it is medicinal when done the right way, according to dozens and dozens and dozens of studies. Our particular coffee, we donate 5% of all proceeds, all sales go back to Friends of Honduran Children as an organization. It comes from Honduras. It was started as a women's co-op. Okay, enough about food. But the lifestyle, eat well, live well, think well, live well, and think well are just as important as the eat well. And we forget about the live well component. We're always talking about diet, but what about sleep? So you and I, before we started recording, we talked about this whole concept of, you know, in the beginning, there was darkness and then there was light. And that's how humans, they came into existence in a light and darkness world. And these are all what's called circadian rhythms. And we have to honor and cherish those circadian rhythms, which of course most people don't. So in short, my recommendations are you go to sleep reasonably soon after the sundown, you minimize your exposure to artificial light and ideally use natural lights. And there's a lot of literature that's where you can find out more information about that. So we go to sleep shortly after the sundown and we awake before the sunrise. And then we watch the sunrise. And then we spend the day in and out of the sun. Our ancestors were in and out of the sun all day long, and they were wearing a loincloth. If not, they were naked. All plants, all animals are naked outside in the sun. It's only the human that sits inside all day long in the artificial lights, and we're the ones that are sick and dying. So live well is about sleep. It's about sunshine. It's about movement and physical activity. It's about avoiding those environmental toxins that we just mentioned, including the mold and bacteria. It's about getting chiropractic care and having good spinal hygiene. And it's also about oral hygiene, being under the care of a good holistic dentist. So that's the live well component. And then you got this massive category about think well. And what does think well mean? Because all these emotional and mental health issues, mental sickness issues, are linked to cardiovascular disease. So ultimately, you have to find your happy. And you can find your happy through spirituality, through purpose and passion and gratitude, through bonding with your community, through self-acceptance and self-worth, and you know, and being safe and secure in your environment. So there's a lot of different things inside of the Think Well, but it's not just about the food. We've got these two mega categories over here that are likely more important than the food that we eat. When I talk to people who've suffered, you know, of a heart attack, and I say, what happened just before the heart attack? It's not often that somebody would say, oh, well, I ate all this, you know, food and then I had a heart attack. No, it's a stressful event. Relationship stress, work stress, financial stress, family stress. Like, these are the things that tip people over the edge to sickness.
You are speaking my language, Dr. Wolfson. I love it. And it just, when we talk about all of these things, I hope it shows people how preposterous it is to think that eating your scrambled eggs and a steak is going to kill you. I mean, come on. There's just so many toxins and, you know, processed foods, and we are disconnected from nature. We are disconnected from our creator. We are disconnected from each other more and more every day. We don't move our bodies. We sit. I mean, come on, people. Like, this is just, you know, it's just right in front of you. And yet again, we just have this scapegoat, like, oh, it's cholesterol and it's too high. And, you know, and I hope, I really hope, I'm praying that this podcast will reach a lot of people's ears and clear it up and make them feel better and empowered. And so that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about. So, and I know we've talked about a lot of things. We've kind of mentioned all these things, but just to kind of, to have kind of some bullet points. If somebody goes to their doctor and they're sitting in front of their doctor and their doctor's like, yeah, your cholesterol is high, your LDLs are high, these are the bad, you know, cholesterol, and I really think you should consider going on a statin. So some of those tests, if you could just don't mind recapping, like, what are the questions? What are some questions? What are some tests that they should request? I want to just recap so people can like write them down right here.
Yeah, for the cholesterol in this whole lipid area, I would say ask for this apolipoprotein B and apolipoprotein A, and then you calculate that ratio. The lower the ratio, the better. Anything above one would be considered to be dangerous, but still not requiring statin therapy, like I've said five times. The other thing you want to look for is a genetic marker called LP little a. I believe it had benefit in our ancestral days, and now probably not so much. LP parentheses little a, ask for that. And then look at the markers of inflammation and oxidative stress. So you want to look at oxidized LDL. You want to look at HSCRP. Those would be a couple of the biggies over there. Also, don't forget to check your levels of homocysteine. Homocysteine, you want between 7 and 9. If it's elevated, it's a B vitamin deficiency, and animal products are always the best source of the B vitamins. So those are tests you should ask for. But remember, your relationships should always be a partnership. It's not, when you go to the doctor, this is not a dictatorship. This is not the 1970s my way or the highway. This is a partnership. And if you don't like what your partner's saying, sometimes you have to get a new partner. You have to work with your partner in order to find the common ground. And if you can't find the common ground where both of you are happy, then you need to move on from that relationship and find a new partner. The doctor, again, they work for you. You don't work for them. They are there to help you on your path to health and wellness. And that should be this kind of combination approach. But this can be difficult. This can be confrontational. And it shouldn't be, but often it is. And we should avoid confrontations whenever possible. If you're not in line with your doctor, then go find a new doctor.
Mm-hmm. Agreed on that. There should at least, you should have a level of comfort where you can discuss this with your doctor and feel confident and just maybe not even challenging what they say necessarily. It doesn't have to be that confrontational, but just having a discussion like, look, I'd like to have these other tests run and just see before I ever consider something like that. I think that's incredibly helpful for people.
Let me give one more point too. I want to make sure I get this across, Chelsea, because, you know, you can say that, you know, people like you, or, you know, you said this because, you know, I'm not a doctor, you know, so, you know, again, the higher credibility of a doctor, I'm a Nutritional Therapy Association graduate, and I've been doing this, and I'm a child of God, and I understand all these things, and it makes common sense, but I'm not the doctor. Again, like, this kind of self-deprecation, I think, is okay. But the reality is, I would sooner send a friend or family member to you, Chelsea, for health advice than any other medical doctor I've ever worked with in the conventional system.
Wow.
It's the, and again, like, that is the honest to God truth, because the medical doctors do not understand this stuff. They're not trained in eat well, live well, think well. If I wanted someone to go on pharmaceuticals or to have a surgery, then I would send them to one of my old medical colleagues. I would send them to my old cardiology group. But if I wanted someone to learn about real preventive, real treatment, real reversal strategies, I would send them to you or other graduates in the NTA or other people in that health coaching nutritional space than any of the doctors I worked with. And again, I trained at some of the best institutions in Chicago. So that's my two cents on that.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm curious, do you know, what kind of discussions do you have with your former colleagues? I'm sure you are, you know, still have friends and such. Does this ever come up? Do you get a lot of flack for this change you've made over the years? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I really don't focus on the blowback or the negativity of people. I know that people are out there. I know that people may be talking behind my back and stuff like that. But I don't let any of that stuff bother me. I know the truth. I know that I'm right. I know that my father's loss created, you know, the man that I am today. Meeting my wife created the man and the physician that I am today. So I'm very confident in all of that. I don't look for confrontation with these old people, but I colleagues and stuff like that, but I don't avoid it. I feel bad for them in a lot of ways, because they're just, they spend their whole life and their whole medical career doing the wrong thing, pushing pharmaceuticals and useless and dangerous procedures. Don't get me wrong. God bless the men and women who work in emergency rooms and trauma centers. They have a place. But when it comes to the prevention, treatment, and reversal of chronic diseases, heart disease, brain disease, cancer, autoimmune disease, overweight, diabetes. The medical community has nothing. They've got nothing. And it's so sad. And this has created, you know, multi-trillion dollar industry employing millions of people. I mean, let me just circle back. Let me tell one story. Okay, so I represented Miller's Organic Farm recently. They're a organic farm owned and operated by the Amish in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, specifically Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania. So the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture shuts them down because they don't have a permit to distribute the raw dairy. So the government comes in and shuts down this raw dairy, you know, ranch. They supply thousands of people across the United States. Nobody's complaining about them, but the government shuts them down. Now, the family's not employed, the community, the people, they're not employed. The people who are really living on their nutritious products do not have access to these. Meanwhile, the government, they don't say a word about smoking cigarettes, drinking all the booze you want. Marijuana's legal on every street corner now. That's not a problem. All the artificial things, all the synthetic foods, all the lies about Cheerios being heart healthy, all this other garbage that they promote, yet the government comes in and does this. So, you know, we need to continue to fight. You know, we need to continue to stand up, you know, for our rights, for our freedoms. The government, they'll be coming in real soon saying, you know what, we've just got the 1,000th study that says that meat is bad. So therefore, we're going to ban the sale of meat, and you're going to be eating grain, and you're going to be eating insects, and you'll be eating whatever kind of soy tofu burgers that, you know, that we recommend to you. So, anywho, just a little digression there from your question. But, you know, again, it's time to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. It's time to get comfortable with uncomfortable conversations and things that we need to do to stand up for our freedoms, because someone and some people are there to take away what's good and what's right.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I see that coming with meat as well. There is definitely a war against meat. And I mean, you know, as I said, my husband's a cattle rancher, and so he follows it very closely, and there it is not set up in the rancher's favor. I can tell you that. We import a ridiculous amount of meat when we grow the best meat right here in the United States. But anyway, I digress too, and I could talk about that all day. No, I appreciate that. I think people do need to wake up and see what's happening. And you know, I tell people, like, listen, you know, like, I feel amazing when I'm eating, you know, eggs and meat. I just feel so good. And I know so many people do. And they overrule the way that they feel by, listening to this advice. And I just think we need to trust in what our body is telling us more, you know, the feedback our body's giving us about how we're feeling, and not going just by these, you know, these tests and the arbitrary numbers that they place, you know, like every year it's like, oh, your cholesterol should be lower and lower and lower, you know, placed by the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they're making that decision. It's just, it's horrible. Well, I am so incredibly grateful for everything that you have shared today. I want to ask you the anchor questions that I ask all of my guests. And the first one is, what is your anchor meal? So it's a go-to healthy meal that you eat often.
My anchor meal would be wild salmon. Wild salmon definitely is number one on my list. We talked about all those other foods and stuff like that, but you know, when it comes to nutrient density, these omega-3 fatty acids that are so critically important to brain and cellular function, wild salmon would be my go-to. And then I would do a side of vegetables, maybe, you know, a sweet potato, you know, along with it, but it's going to be those kind of hunter-gatherer type foods.
Awesome. And that makes me think, and I want to circle back to this real quick, if you don't mind. You said something earlier when we were talking about the seed oils, and you kind of lumped in taking fish oil with that. And, you know, we hear to take fish oil as a way to fight inflammation. Specifically related to cardiovascular health. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of fish oil. I'm a fan of eating fish. So just eat the fish. You don't need the fish oil, just eat the fish. And that'll do the job. Don't try and compare on like a milligram per milligram basis. Okay, well, how much omega-3 is in a slice of fish versus what's in a capsule? It's a totally different conversation. So there are some opportunities to use high quality omega-3 fish oil, but in general, I'll tell people to get it from the fish. If people have inflammation, the answer is not fish oil. The answer is to eat well, live well, think well, and that'll get rid of the inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. And then the other anchor question is, what is your anchor verse, which is a favorite Bible verse or one that resonates with you?
All right. So I knew this was coming and you know, before we got on. So I knew you were going to ask this. So I want to be truthful about this. And I think, you know, again, I was raised in a Jewish household. We were not very observant except for, you know, on the high holidays, and I was bar mitzvahed, and my wife was also raised in a Jewish household. We became much more spiritually oriented as we, you know, in our first, you know, several years together. And then I also, you know, was telling you about our oldest son who has had a lot of experience with Christianity and this whole kind of concept of, you know, Old Testament and New Testament. And I think in general, as someone who grew up Jewish and kind of like thinking, okay, well, Christian, you know, the Christian philosophy is wrong. Or Jesus is not the Messiah. He is not actual God incarnate. I think one thing we would look at is the teachings of Jesus are the teachings of Jesus, and they're beautiful and they're relevant. And why would anyone want to argue with those, whether or not he is actually God incarnate or not? Now, that being said, I'm not a scholar, you know, and well-studied in Old or New Testament, but certainly my experience is in the Old Testament. And there is a verse that I thought that really spoke to me. And it is from Exodus in chapter 15, verse number 26. And he said, and being Moses, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So I summarize that, right?
Yes.
Believe in God, follow God's commands, and you will be healthy.
I love it. And God gives us clean food to eat. He tells us to renew our minds. He gave us sunshine. He gave us, you know, water. He gave us earth, the grounding, all of it. And, you know, so yes, all of those things come together. And I appreciate your openness and you sharing that here. And I just really appreciate your willingness to come on and share all of this information. It has been so helpful and just very clear. And I know it's going to help a lot of people. Where can people find you, follow you, pick up your book? Tell us the best way.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want a copy of my book, all you do is pay the shipping. And that's at a website, freeheartbook.com, freeheartbook.com. If you want to come to my heart health website, it's called naturalheartdoctor.com. If you want coffee, we've got cardiologycoffee.com, and we're also sold on Amazon. So I got a lot of different places to get my information out there, my health and wellness information. My wife has a beautiful brand called Wild Mamas as well. And that's all about just embracing your wild mama. It's about wild fertility, wild pregnancy, wild children. So we have all these different opportunities. And I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful in so many different ways, again, for, you know, this divine intervention to bring me to where I am right now. We live in a beautiful mountain area outside of Aspen, Colorado, and we've got goats and chickens and just a totally free-range lifestyle. And I do have the opportunity to be outside every day, to be with my family every day. And it really is a blessing that God has given me, you know, for all this. And again, I so appreciate you and your audience and your listeners, you know, just listening to what I have to say, and appreciate everyone here.
Well, we're incredibly thankful for you and that he did lead you in this direction and open this doorway for you to do this work, because there's a lot of counteracting that needs to be done to the modern narrative. And I, you know, you're definitely contributing and helping to that. So I really very much appreciate the work that you do and the time that you spent with us today. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a healthy and blessed week, and I will talk to you soon.
Remember that my mom is an awesome nutritionist, but she's not a doctor. The information in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Always talk to your doctor before making changes to your nutrition or exercise program. Thanks for listening. Have a healthy and blessed week.